I want to talk this morning on the wonder of the Word of God. The wonder, the Word of God. You know, there's the gospel that we heard today is going to be continued next week, so I'm not going to comment out of that text. And the second reading today was really its own homily, amen? So that's done. The homily's been preached. I guess I should just sit down. Because you know me too well. And so I want to preach out of the first reading today, which is Nehemiah in the 8th chapter. A little bit of background. This passage takes place following the Babylonian captivity of Israel. What happened was that despite repeated warnings from the prophets, Israel did not repent. And on account of this, they grew weak, and the Babylonians eventually conquered Israel, conquered Judah, and entered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. Those who survived the war were taken off to live in captivity, in exile, in Babylon, which today is modern-day Iraq. They were taken off to live there. And for 80 years, they lived there in exile. And then the Cyrus, the king of the Persians, conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus, the king of the Persians, again, modern day we would call Iranians, allowed the Jewish people to return to their land and rebuild the temple, rebuild the city. And so what we find then is a small band of them was led back by Nehemiah, the governor, and also the Ezra, the high priest. And they led a band of Israelites back across the desert, and they began to rebuild the city. Well, you see, it wasn't enough to rebuild the city because Ezra and Nehemiah said these folks that we're in charge of, they also need some spiritual renewal, amen? Spiritual renewal. Life is about more than buildings and land and property. It is about our soul. It's about our spirit. And so they hold, if you will, where we pick up this reading today, they're holding a kind of a tent revival. They're gathering people, and they're telling them to come to the Watergate Hotel. The Watergate. they hold a great kind of tent revival here where they're rebuilding the city. There's a place in Jerusalem called the Watergate, and they assemble all the people there. And that's where we pick up the story. We're here today, and look around. We've got a big tent over our head, and we're here, and we're going to be revived by the Lord. Are you praying with me? So again, we have then this great call of Ezra and Nehemiah for all the people to come and to be revived in the Word of God. Now, it would seem that among the sins of the people prior to the exile was that they had neglected the Word of God. They had neglected it and even set aside whole books of the Bible as being of no real concern to them. And one of those books was called Deuteronomy. And that would seem to be the scroll that Ezra is holding up for all the people. You saw the deacon carrying the book, amen? Well, that morning, 2,500 years ago, Ezra the high priest held up the scroll of the book of Deuteronomy. And so that is the context then of our setting today, a group of people who are called to rebuild a city, but also to be spiritually renewed. And this great tent revival is called, and we're here with the Lord, we're with Ezra, we're with Nehemiah, and we're with the people of God. So the first thing I want you to notice then as we look at this wonder of the Word of God is the hunger for the Word of God. Notice the text says that all the people gathered was one man in the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe, they said, please bring the law of Moses which the Lord had given to Israel. Oh, there's a hunger for the Word. Are you praying? There's a hunger. They're hungry. They want to hear from the Lord. I have it on the best of authority. They were singing a gospel song. They said, we need to hear from you, Lord. If we don't hear from you, what shall we do? Oh, we need to hear from the Lord. And so they're hungry for the Word of God. Are you hungry for the Word of God? You see, again, it's interesting. We live in a culture. We're very good at taking care of our bodies. Yes, we are. We feed ourselves quite well, thank you. Quite well. And by gosh, we got all these doctors and all that stuff, because, you know, when you overeat, you start to also have other complications, and we're pretty good at getting to the physical doctor. But, oh, how we allow our souls to go hungry, our souls to languish. And so I pray, and I see, I'm looking out today, I see some folks that are hungry for God's word. What brought you here today? Said, I'm hungry, Lord. I need your word. I need your sacrament. Oh, please, Lord, feed me. And so here we are, hungry for the word of God. We heard today in the Psalms that the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and they are more to be desired than gold or honey from the comb. Indeed, sweet honey dripping from the comb. Job said, I have esteemed, Lord, the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. So again, note first the hunger for the word of God. The people are crying out. They're saying, Lord, we need to hear from you. Ezra, bring us the word of God and proclaim it to us. So we see the hunger. Now, the next thing I want you to notice then is the hearing of the word of God. The hearing. The text says that Ezra brought that law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding, and on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it. He read it facing the square before the water gate. And notice this now, from early morning until midday, in the presence of all those who could understand. And Ezra, the scribe, stood in a wooden pulpit, which they had made for the purpose. Right up here, see? The wooden pulpit. Now listen, church, I want you to just notice one thing in passing and one thing in a little more detail. I'm just going to notice that in this hearing of the word of God, I want you to notice they spend some time with God's word. Yes, they did. They did. Yes, they did. They. It says from early in the morning, 6 a.m., until midday. Are you praying with me, church? I will probably preach about a half hour as I normally do. They preach 6 hours. Are you praying? 6 hours with the word of God. And so you see this great, great, lavish attention they give to God's word. They want to hear from the Lord, and they're willing to spend some time to do it. You know, this isn't one of those say it in 7 minute sermons. This is a spending some time with God's word. So again, sometimes if you want to really make progress with God's word, you just got to be willing to spend a little time. Are you praying with me, church? So again, I want you to notice the time, but I also want you to notice that there's an assembly. They are listening to this word all together. Several times this text says, he kept saying this word to all of them who were there, men and women and children old enough to understand. They're all there, and they're all gathered, and they're all listening as if they were one person listening to this word. They're gathered together to hear this word. Now, I hope that you do read God's word privately. You know, most of us today are blessed with something called literacy. That means that we can read. But you know, in those days, most folks couldn't read. That was something that only special folks called scribes and teachers of the law were prepared to do. So in order to get God's word, you had to come together. Now, it's a beautiful thing that we can all read on our own today. But church, don't go off and just read the Bible all by yourself. There's a time that very Bible says you need to come together. You need to gather with your brothers and sisters, and you need to hold each other accountable, and you need to be instructed by my appointed teachers. You and I, we all need a teacher. And the Lord has appointed, as you heard in the reading today, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelizers, and teachers. Some are appointed to this task. One of them is standing before you now. But pray for me and pray for all of us that we're always faithful to the true teacher, Jesus. Amen. But there is a time for us to read privately God's word. Praise the Lord. But there is also a time for us to gather together, to be instructed in that word, to come together. And again, not just to hear from some preacher, but to support each other in this word, to come together, to hold each other accountable, to support each other, to hear together and listen. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. I just want to quote to you, though, from the letter to the Hebrews, for those who think they don't need to go to God's house. Now, You all are here. You don't need to hear this, but tell somebody who does. It simply says from Hebrews 10, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together regularly, as is the habit of some, but all the more gathering, as you see the day is drawing near." And so we're all getting ready for the great judgment day, the great getting up morning. And part of getting ready for that is coming together, hearing a word, being instructed, and, if you will, encouraging one another, as the text says. Now, therefore, we've seen so far that there's a hunger for the Word of God, and there's a hearing of the Word of God that is both substantial, if you will, in terms of the amount of time, and is communal in terms of folks coming together. Now, I also want you to notice, though, next, I want to talk to you a little bit about help unto the Word of God. You notice that Ezra didn't do it all by himself. Nehemiah did not do it all by himself. They also had Levites and others who were assisting with this proclamation. You know, I got to know, I'm a motor mouth, but I don't know if I could go for 6 hours without some help. But I also want you to know that this morning, I'm not up here preaching the Word of God alone. Have you noticed that there's a lot of help that goes on in preaching this Word? We had two very fine lectors who spoke a word to us today. Now, listen to what this text says. The Levites also helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places listening. And as the Levites read from the book of the law, they read it clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people could understand the reading. So you see, our lectors today have effectively proclaimed a word to us. Likewise, our cantor sung a word to us. You see, church, there's something, we have a partnership in this word. And I want you to know our choir is here to sing God's word. They're going to help us. In fact, you may not remember a thing I say today when you leave here. I hope you do, but you may not. But I can tell you, this choir is going to put a word in your heart that you'll go out of here singing, and you'll remember it all week. You know, there's just something about the Word of God when it's sung, isn't there? Amen? It's memorable, and it continues to last and resonate. So you see, church, there's a lot of folks up here engaged in this work of helping the Word of God along. I'm preaching, the deacon proclaimed, our lectors proclaimed, the cantor sang, and the choir is going to continue to sing. All this help. But guess what? I'm not done yet. You also help with the proclaiming of the word. How, you say? Listen, one of the great glories of being in predominantly African-American parishes, and I've been almost 25 years a priest now, and I'm going to tell you I spent most of it in the African-American parishes. It is a great glory to know that I'm not up here doing some kind of monologue. You are partners with me in the proclaiming of every sermon. Amen? I see some of you nodding. I see you nodding. I see you taking notes. I see some hands sometimes go up. I hear some amens, and I hear some, "Go on, make it plain, preacher." And sometimes I hear, "Help them, Lord." You are partners with me in this moment that we call the homily. See, we're in this together. Now you say, "How come that guy preaches so long?" You're part of the reason. You're stirring me up and egging me on. Praise the Lord, church. And you know, I'm to the point now where I go to a community and they're not ready to say amen and join me in the work. I say, "You got to help me. You got to help me, church." And they're like, "Oh, what does he mean?" I said, "I'm asking for an amen." I was at the cathedral on Friday preaching a sermon, and very formal setting, you know, the cathedral, and they're not used to that interaction. So I said at the beginning, I said, "I need some help this morning. It's all right to say amen." Still didn't hear. It says, "All right to say amen." And they were with me from that point forward. But you see, there's a help unto the Word of God. Amen? We all are in this together. We're all crafting this moment with God's grace and God's help. He's working with all of us today. Preacher, choir, lectors, deacon, people of God, all of us working, helping the Word of God along, and we all benefit from what we all do. Amen? So we've seen now so far that there's a hunger for the Word of God, and we've seen that there is a hearing of the Word of God, and a help unto the word of God. And now I want you to notice that there is an honor for the word of God. Listen to the text. It's going to sound familiar, church. Ezra opened up the book in the sight of all the people, for he was up on the platform, and he opened up the book. And when he opened the book, the people stood. It's like the deacon came and held that book up, and y'all stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, and he, great God, and all the people, as Ezra proclaimed this word, all the people started saying, amen, amen. And some of them, it says, lifting up their hands, and others bowed down their heads, and yet others got right down on the ground and worshiped God. Do you see the honor that is given to the word of God? You see, again, now look, a lot of us have different ways of showing honor and respect. You know, some of us in the church sit quietly, sometimes even with our eyes closed, not falling asleep now, but just with your eyes closed, listening. Others are much more active. They're saying, amen, and I see some hands go up, and we all have different ways. I understand that. But you know, whatever your way, you make sure you honor the word of God by attentively listening. And you know, some folks don't always understand when folks get happy in church. Preacher friend I knew from some years ago, he's deceased now, but he said, you know, I don't know how you take that. I couldn't stand in a pulpit and have people shouting amens. I'd get all distracted. I said, no, man, it helps. It helps. It gets me moving. I don't understand that. I said, listen, what it means is they're listening, interacting, and responding to God's word. They're saying, Lord, I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. It went into my ear. It touched my mind and my heart, and I have to shout. So some folks are that way. Some folks just quietly. But whatever you do, make sure that you give honor to the word of God by attending to what is said, listening carefully, and attentively appropriating what God says to you. Are you praying with me, church? So you see the vision here. We need to give honor to God's work. Every now and again, whether some folks are quiet or some folks are attentive, you know, I every now and again you catch a glimpse of someone who you know is not giving honor to God's word, sitting there, you know, looking at the watch, you know, kind of looking like the frozen chosen, you know. See, some folks are quiet, but you know, I see the lights are on and someone's home. Amen. Some folks are attentive, but make sure that you are honoring the word of God. So we see then a hunger for God's word. We see a hearing of God's word and a help unto God's word. We see the honor that is given to God's word. Next, we notice the heartfelt response that comes with God's word. Look at what the text says. It says, the Levites, who were helping the people to understand the law, I read the wrong text, friend. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and all the Levites were teaching the people. And they had to then say to them, don't weep. Don't weep. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. For all the people, when they heard the words of the law, began to weep. Weep. Now, I'll explain in a minute why they were weeping, but notice their heartfelt reaction. The word of God is reaching their heart. It's touching them to the core, and they're reacting. Church, you might be in church one Sunday, and whatever the sermon is or whatever the word is proclaimed, you might be mad, you might be sad, or you might be glad, but don't be indifferent. You know, if you're listening to the word of God, it is going to call forth a response from you. If you attentively listen to the word of God, it has to touch you. The word of God is not simply meant to inform. It is meant to transform and to perform. The word of God is like the rain that comes down from the sky and says the Lord, my word will be like that, like the rain that comes forth and comes down and touches the ground and doesn't return to the sky until it's first watered the earth and brought forth fruit. So it is with my word. You and I have got to listen, and if we are listening, this word will move us. It may make us sad or mad. What's God talking about? What's that preacher saying? Or it might make us glad. But it can't leave us indifferent. And so you see this heartfelt reaction. Now this day, they were sad. They were weeping. And again, I kind of gave you the background. But in the book of Deuteronomy, which they were reading from that day, in that book are a list of blessings. If you will follow my word, says the Lord, and you will live according to what I'm teaching you, look at all the blessings. And God numbers out all the blessings that would come from keeping his word. And he also, though, warns. He says, oh, wait till you see the destruction that will happen to you if you don't keep this word. Wait till you see the confusion and the pain and the grief and the sorrow and all the bitterness and struggle that will come if you don't keep my word. Church, it's always harder to go around God's law than through it. Are you praying with me? And the Lord warned them. And you see, what was happening to the people is they were saying, you know, we just came from 80 years in exile. Half of us were killed in the war, and those of us who survived had to go live in a hostile desert for 80 years, twice the time we spent getting to this promised land. Oh, the pain, the grief that we could have avoided if we had kept God's word. And they begin to weep. They weep. And so it is. Their heartfelt reaction that day is great sadness. And yet, the Levites say, well, if it's going to hurt, just make it sure it hurts so good. Let this sadness now of yours be turned to joy. And I'll explain that in the next step. But again, you see this vision. Again, so far we've looked at the fact that there is a hunger for the Word of God. And there is a substantial hearing of the Word of God, along with all that help that is necessary unto the Word of God. There is a great honor that's given to the Word of God and a heartfelt reaction. And the final thing to look at is this, that there is a heeding of the Word of God. You see, that day they're weeping and they realize we did not keep God's Word. We did not hear and then heed His Word. Oh, what sorrow that has brought to us. And they wept. But Ezra and Nehemiah and all the Levites said to them, don't weep today. Let rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. And they then say this. One of the things that is in this book that we have not been doing is that there is a festival, a feast that we have not been keeping. And what we're going to ask you to do today is don't weep. Let rejoicing in the Lord be your strength. Here is what the Lord God commands us today. Prepare for a feast. What he's talking about is they had been neglecting a certain feast on the liturgical calendar. And that feast was called the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And it's a reminder of the time they'd spent in the desert, especially at the foot of Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai, Moses went up and he brought down the law. And the great Feast of Booths was a great festival that was celebrated in ancient Israel every year, saying, thank you, Lord, for your law. We love your law, Lord. Help us to follow with all our heart. Thank you, Lord. Happy are we for what pleases you is known to us. Thank you, Lord. Let's rejoice in your law. Well, let's just say as they began to depart from the law and didn't keep it, they said, I don't want to start celebrating something I'm not even keeping. So they let the festival die. It's like a lot of folks today don't want to come to church anymore. Keep the feast of the Lord. See? And so again, they weren't keeping that festival. And so paradoxically, in the midst of all this weeping and not having kept the law, the commandment that's given that day is a pretty simple one. Go home and get ready for a party. Are you ready for a party? Get ready for a party. And they say, get on home now and dress the meat and prepare the wine and this too we ask, that you don't neglect the poor. Make sure that you prepare for this feast. Set up the tent in the backyard. Get the barbecue going. Clean the barbecue pit out. Get it going. Start to get ready. Start cooking, dressing the meat, and getting ready. Get the wine ready, and make sure that the poor are taken care of. Get ready to party, because we're going to celebrate once again that God's law is good, that it's holy, that his word is wonderful. And they sent them out. And the people that day left that day, and they went and they prepared for the party. And they kept that feast of booths and tabernacles from that day forward. In other words, church, they didn't just gather at the Watergate to have a little church up in here. They didn't just gather. They gathered. They were hungry for the word, and they heard the word with the help unto the word, and they gave honor to the word, and they had a heartfelt reaction. But here comes the key point. They heeded the word. From that day forward, they said, we will celebrate God's law. We will celebrate and we will keep the feast of booths, a feast that lasts for a whole week. We're going to do it. You might say, well, that's a simple thing, preacher. I mean, what does it take to keep a party? Church, if the Lord asks you to do small little things, do them. Just heed what God says. If the Lord asks you to do big things, just do it. But heed God's word. Because, you know, you can hunger for his word. You can hear it. You can rejoice at all the help of hearing the word, and you can give honor to the word and even have a heartfelt reaction in the moment. But if you and I walk out this door today and we're not prepared to heed the word, total disaster, complete loss. The Lord says, you know, you're like a fool who put his house on sand. The rains came and the flood came and swept your house away, total destruction. But the wise man hears my words and builds his house on solid rock, and when the winds come and all the difficulties arise, his house stands sure because it's built on the firm foundation of my word. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. So again today, we've celebrated God's word. Yes, I think you were hungry this morning. You came here, and you know, we've heard the word, and not just from me, but from all that helped to help us to hear the word, and all of us together, and you've given honor to God's word, and I hope you've had something of a heartfelt reaction. No weeping, I don't see any of that, and I don't see any falling out, but we all got our reaction today. But the question for us is, will we heed it? Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. But above all, Lord, help me to heed your word. If I'm going to give honor to your word, it's going to ultimately be in the observance of your word. So with all that in mind, a couple songs kind of come to mind. You know, just that word as they were gathered there at the Watergate, we need to hear from you, Lord. Lord, if we don't hear from you, what shall we do? We do hear from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We hear your word. I'm mindful of another song that just says, order my steps, Lord. Order my steps in your word. And I'm mindful of one other song, more about Jesus. The song simply says in the third verse, it says, more about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, and making each faithful saying mine. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I just ask you, Lord, order my steps. Lord, I need to hear from you. And Lord, I am so grateful that I hear from you. Somebody say amen.